Okay, I do want to think about godly leadership, and really, the principle is this: character colours everything. Interestingly, this does fall completely out of what we've been looking at. And so I do want to think about character, especially given what we've just been looking at, because what is there in Titus 1 is almost exclusively about character. And I want to suggest that the most important thing about your leadership is character, and the most important thing about others' leadership is their character. But I also want to talk about four other things first, and then get to character. Now, together, those five things I'm about to talk about will probably be familiar to you. You'll have heard them from me before. Together, they form the five C's. They provide five perspectives on a person's strengths and weaknesses to help you think through, what am I getting? What am I getting? So the five characteristics are character, convictions, chemistry, competency, and capacity. Character has to do with what are they like. Convictions has to do with what matters to them. Chemistry has to do with how good they are with others. Competency has to do with what can they do. And capacity has to do with how much they can do. I want to say something about numbers 2 to 5 and then come back to number 1. First of all, convictions is about what you think matters. It's about beliefs. It is someone's personal doctrinal basis of faith. Of course, no one but the Southern Baptists would have such a thing, but it's there. It's just not been articulated. It's about who they are. Sorry, it's about who they think we are, what we're like, where we are, what life's about, what's wrong with the world, what the solution is. But it's also about, and here's the thing, what matters matter. But how much do they matter? Those are two things. It's what matters matter and how much do they matter? In other words, what is the volume on these things? You know, so for me, I'm utterly inflexible on the divinity of Jesus. I don't have a firm position on infra or supralapsarianism. And I'm happy with that. So, in other words, I could work with an infralapsarian as a supralapsarian and it'd be fine, or alternatively. So, some convictions can be compromised, others, we are not willing to be flexible at all. So, the question is, what are you prepared to die for and what are you prepared to let go? Interesting discussions between myself and Adrian over the Lord's Supper. So Adrian had a far higher standard for the Lord's Supper than I did, involving church membership. So that was an interesting one. Now, those core convictions shape us. They form who we are and what we do and how we make decisions. They are distinguishable from, but not separate from, character. They mutually enforce one another. After all, as we've seen in Titus, there is a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Character, convictions. There is a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. So convictions is about what matters and what matters matter and how much do they matter. So you need to be clear, the guy before me, what are his convictions? Or the woman I'm looking to appoint, what are their convictions? But fundamentally, you need to have some convictions in your leadership. Secondly, chemistry is all about our ability to fit in with others. It's about that ability to click with the rest of the team. It doesn't matter as highly as character and convictions, but it really matters. And if you've ever had a colleague with whom you didn't quite gel, that wasn't a whole load of fun for you to be around, then you will know how much chemistry matters. And it's going to matter more where you've got close working relationships that are coming under some degree of pressure. And that's going to be particularly true at the moment with COVID. It's going to be particularly true in terms of church planting. You are going to be under duress. And if you haven't got chemistry with the other people on your team, expect your team to fall apart. So it really relates to staff teams. It really relates to eldership teams. Now, I think chemistry matters more than competency. Because I think if you really get on well with someone who can't quite produce the goods, it's just way easier to be accommodating and forgiving. I think that's right. I can think of some colleagues who whose company I've really enjoyed, I've loved working with, but who have been useless at some things that kind of drives me up the wall. But I'm prepared to be forgiving. Otherwise, I've actually had some really competent, super competent people. And I've interviewed people and I've just thought, you know what, it's just not there. And I just don't think this is going to work. Working with them is going to be like rubbing my face against sandpaper. And it's just, no, we're not going to go there. And now, I need to be clear at this point, what I'm not talking about at this point is similarity or homogeneity. I'm not interested in sameness. I'm after fit, and that is different. Unity and uniformity are two very different things. Uniformity is sameness. The last thing our church needs is more people like me. The last thing the world needs is more people like me. Unity, though, is accommodating of difference, and that's what you're after. Thirdly, competency is all about our ability. It's about what we can do. It's the skills the person possesses to do the job and fulfill their responsibilities. And the truth is, a certain amount of competency is required for most jobs. But usually, you can work with a person with lower competencies who has a willingness to learn. Skills can be learned. They can be perfected with time, and with practice, and with useful, encouraging feedback. If you're in any doubt of that, look at your own preaching. Look at what you were like 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, if you've been going that long. The truth is, we can get better. It's actually easier to get better at competencies than it is to get better in terms of character. Character is slow and significant. It takes a while to change. Competencies, you can raise your game somewhat straightforwardly. So there's a great quote from Craig Hamilton in Wisdom and Leadership on page 266. He says this: competencies can be taught and improved. If a person wants to learn and to grow, is willing to put in the time to practice, is receptive to feedback, and is willing to persevere, that person will always improve and become highly skilled. Anyone with enough time, drive, and coaching can learn anything. Now, you might want to slightly temper that, but I agree with that on the whole. But the key is, are they willing to learn? Have they got the humility? And that's a character point. If they are resistant and unwilling to hear feedback, oh, you are in for an absolute nightmare, because you're stuck with them. They're not changing anything. Fourthly, capacity. It's about the size of our engine. It's about how much we can do and our ability to multitask. It's about how much we can get done at once, how many different tasks we can carry out concurrently, how much pressure can we withstand. It's all about, to use Roux's language, plate size. Some people have a big engine or a big plate, others don't. The point is, when an engine is filled, an engine's working at capacity, it can't go any further. If you're a 1 litre and you're at capacity, you can hear it and you can't do anything else. You've got a big plate and it's full, you can't go anywhere else. The point is, when the plate is filled up, you can't get any more out of them. Now, I want people with big engines and want people with big plates. Of course I do. Now, it is worth saying, I think capacity can be developed and capacity changes. In other words, some of you guys at the moment are low capacity. Why is that? Because you've got small children, preschoolers. They're going to kill you. So guess what? Church planting with preschoolers, it's really hard. Church planting with people in their primary school years, that's more straightforward. It is more straight. Now, having said that, you don't want to miss out on the opportunities that you get with preschoolers. You really don't. So it's a kind of, you know, it's like all these things, you've got to weigh them up. But I've left the most important thing to last, which is character. Character is king. It matters more than anything. Character is that collection of a person's values, a person's virtues, a person's motivation. It's not so much what a person does, but who a person is and how a person does these things. And we're thinking about things like honesty, humility, reliability, faithfulness, servanthood, and so on. Now, the reason a character is so important and the reason why godliness is so significant is that it absolutely colours everything that you do. In other words, you could be highly competent. You could be really good at it. You could be a brilliant preacher, a brilliant leader. If you're proud, you are a nightmare. If you are humble, you are a blessing. So being brilliant and being proud is just obnoxious. But being brilliant and being humble is just a real joy for everyone. Character is a little bit like a sort of a coloured filter through which everything you can do passes. So being in leadership is not so much about what you can do. It is much, much more about who you are. Craig Hamilton gives the following example on page 47. He says this, for example, you may technically understand all the things you need to do to run a great meeting. You might even do all the right things. You start on time, you finish on time, you say hi to people, you remind them of why we're meeting and what the stakes are and what the point is and so on. You tick all the boxes. But if you're proud, rude, selfish, negative, and aggressive person, that meeting will be a horrible ordeal that your people will endure and hate being at, even though you did everything you were supposed to do. Character matters hugely because, for example, an arrogant person is not going to take direction. A negative person is thoroughly toxic to a team. A person with issues of pride won't take feedback and they will turn everything into a conflict and an argument. Character is king. You need to be godly way before you need to be good at anything. Godliness is that kind of necessary, I think it's called a permission to play criteria. You don't get into leadership without godly character. Ability, not so much. Comments, queries, questions?
One question, and it does relate to the passage we were just looking at as well, is that when we're weighing up people's character, those lists that we're given.
Yeah.
It strikes me that they're inherently relative. Am I hospitable? Well, who do I compare myself to? Compared to lots of people I am and compared to lots of people I'm not.
Yeah.
And so one answer is like, well, you go by God's standards, in which case we all fail completely and no one would be an elder. I suppose one thing I've noticed is that it depends who from my past I'm comparing people to. And I wonder if part of the reason that those lists are relative is so that it becomes a local thing. Am I right in thinking this? I should be asking that question in relation to the other people who live in this area, or the other people who are in this church, rather than people I used to go to church with 10 years ago. Do you have any thoughts on that? Who do I compare people to when I ask these questions?
Yeah, that's really insightful. I applaud everything that you've said, and I take it that, in one sense, that was Titus's problem. You know, if you're working, if the raw material you're working with are always lies, evil, and lazy gluttons, whatever the combination is, what you're after is people who are distinct from that. So I think you're right. I think it is a relative scale, isn't it? Am I inhospitable or hospitable? You know, is it a digital choice? You know, no, it's not. It's a bit more analog. But I think you want people who are characteristically have the reputation of a blameless in the area of being hospitable. Could they be more hospitable? Yeah. Are they inhospitable? No. But, and I think, you know, for me, it's always progress. It's about a direction of travel. And so am I the leader I should be? No. Am I the leader I was? No. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not where I was. I have made progress. And I think that concept of progress is a good one. But I think you're right, relative to the people that we're around. And also, in one sense, inevitably it's going to be a playoff, isn't it? And in our context, you know, what does hospitality look like? I think recognizing that there will be people with different capacities. And so some people have a huge capacity for hospitality, but perhaps little competency in it. That could be for a variety of reasons. It could be because they just haven't got any cash, or it could be because, you know what, we've just had a baby, and honestly, we've got 3 kids under 3, and it's going to be pretty hard for us for the next 6 months. But yeah, I think that's helpful. Compare it to the people that are around are good. But don't lose sight of the exemplary people from your past. You know, the truth is, we're all heading at Christ-likeness, aren't we? So in other words, all of these characteristics will be true of Jesus. It's what godliness looks like in a human body. So that's where we're aiming. I'd be happy with that.
I sort of had a question about the capacity thing. As you were describing it, I've heard you use that in an illustration before, and I think it is helpful. The thing that came to mind was that if you have someone who actually is good at delegating, and part of delegation is humility as well, wanting others to serve rather than just doing it all yourself. So that plays into the capacity thing, doesn't it? That, if my plate is always going to be limited. because of my time, my energy, my ability. So if I can delegate, if you find someone who's, even if their capacity isn't large, it's medium, but they're great at delegating, and they've got the humility to do it, then they're going to be a real asset, aren't they?
Yeah, I agree with that. Rob, I don't know whether you found this yet, though. You'll be better at it than I will be. I think don't underestimate how time-consuming management is. I mean, the truth is, it's easier for me to do the kids slot, even though it involves painting and all that kind of stuff, than it is to delegate. Because if I'm delegating well, I'm training and encouraging and all that kind of thing as well. So I think when I started to have a team, I was amazed how much time I was spending inputting into other people. That's necessary. It's about leadership development. In the long run, it's a win. But sometimes in the short term, you just think, I just need to get this done. So even though delegation, you're right, in the long run, it is the answer. In the short run, it might feel, too often it feels, it's just easy for me to get this done. And we need to fight that urge. Because actually what we're doing is we're not upskilling people who could contribute in the end.
So actually what Rob's saying is really helpful, because actually the leaders that you're choosing are people who are going to upskill others and will be good delegators, but actually that's going to take a large capacity. So you're kind of saying similar sort of thing.
Yeah. We need to go for coffee. Someone want to pray? Someone lead us in prayer? Ricky, thank you. Go for your life.
Oh, we thank you for what we have heard this morning from Titus. Lord, we pray that you'd be continuing to work in us to be men who, aspire to be these qualities and just address the weaknesses we have through accountability with perhaps other elders we may have or our wives, and give us real wisdom and discernment with the people and the gifts and the team that you've given us to be able to raise up leaders and trainers, elders, who would be able to join us in your great mission. Lord, keep us healthy, protect us from the devil, our sinful hearts and the influence of unhealthy leadership from the world, to be able to build strong, Christ-centered, healthy churches. And Father, we pray also that just your gospel and your truth would be constantly changing and moulding our characters into Christ-likeness, as we heard, because it colours absolutely everything. So even though we'd be good in all these other areas, character will colour and flavour everything. So, Lord, first and foremost, may you be shaping that and changing that for the better and for the good of your people and the glory of your name, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen.